Today on Roadmap to Success with Pastor Neil.
God was in the business of starting the church. That is one of the churches in Macedonia. The Bible called them the churches of Macedonia. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, right? And this was going to be the first one. And it's begun with the jailer. Paul was aware, so he was not rushing out of the jail cell. Because he knew that the only reason God delivered him was for his purpose, not for his freedom.
This week, Pastor Neil shares insights on how God fights for us. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" He emphasizes that God fights for his purposes, his name, and the body of Christ. Therefore, our personal goals must align with God's will, rather than focusing solely on our freedom or well-being. Pastor Neil encourages us to set aside our freedoms in service of his greater purpose, because we can trust in God and rely on him to see us through any hardships we face. Let's listen to Pastor Neil's lesson. God is fighting on your side.
When the Bible says that God will fight on your side, what does it mean? I want us to get an understanding. Let's bring those things to yourself today. It means that you can trust God and rely on him to see you through any hardship you face. No matter the difficulty you are going through, God is fighting on your side. He's on the side of your team, your team. If he's not on your side, you got to change the team. Not that God is going to switch sides. It is you and I who have to what? Switch the side. So when the Bible says that God is on my side, it means that you can trust God and rely on him to see you through not only your hardships, but no matter what is happening, even if you are overwhelmed and hopeless, you can trust him to turn things around. Amen. If someone say that they will fight for you, you must examine their credentials, don't you think? So let's examine God's credentials in the Bible. Turn with me to the book of Psalms 24 and verse 8. It is the psalm where they ask the question, who is this King of glory? And then the Bible says, it is the Lord, what? Strong and what? The Lord mighty in what? So the scripture teaches us that this God who fights on our behalf, his number one credential is that he is the Lord, what? Strong and mighty. Number two, what is he? He is the Lord who is mighty in battle. The actual Hebrew word translated that way means that he's someone who always wins his battles. Always, not sometimes. In fact, God has no equal when there's a fight. All the BRIC nations and the NATO nations and the entire world can gang up against you. If God is on your side, the Bible says he is mighty in what? Battle. He never loses a battle. He's like my friend. Even though my friend cannot be an equal to God. Sometimes some of us, we worry over too many things. But the scripture says God is on your team. In fact, you are on his team. And then the scripture says, he's not only strong and mighty, but he is mighty in. Number three, the scripture says he's the Lord of hosts. Look at Psalms 89 verse 8. The word host means heaven's armies. And if he's the Lord of it, it means he's the leader of heaven's host. Who are the heaven's host? The angels of God. Are you in Psalms 89? Who is like you, O Lord God Almighty? You are mighty, and your faithfulness surrounds you. God is the leader of the armies in heaven. I'll show you some verses later, and you see how God fights. He never fights fair. So we have seen that his credentials is that he's strong and number two, he is what? Mighty in battle. He never loses war. Number three, he is the Lord of hosts. Finally, the Bible calls him, he's a man of war. Look at the book of Exodus 15. Look at the third verse. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his. Now, this version has already explained the man of war to us. You see, God is not a man. But then the Bible calls him here a man. This is what the scripture teaches us about the use of literal language, right? When we were going to school, you did literature, did you? Yeah. Okay. So this is a metaphor to say that if God was a man, he's a warrior. But he's not. How many of you believe that Mike Tyson was a warrior? He's a champion. He was, because somebody has dethroned him. Nobody can dethrone our God. But what I want you to see about warriors is that if you were a warrior, before you beat me, you would have taken a lot of blows from me. But who can punch God? You can't punch him. The Bible says he's such a warrior that when he fights, it's clean. This is why you don't need to fight your enemies. Leave them to God. He will fight and make the whole battle looks what? After Tuesday, I don't want you to walk around thinking that because of a result of an election, your life is over. You have God still on your team. Who's on your team? God is still on your team. So we have seen his credentials, strong and mighty, mighty in battle, Lord of hosts. And the Bible says he's a warrior. When God gets involved in a fight, what is his motivation? See, when you examine our world, men fight over women before you got married. There's some guys in your local church back then fight over you. Yeah. There you go. Can you say the microphone?
Yes.
You see the way she said, oh, yeah. Because men fight over women. Bro. Did some women fight over you?
A few.
But then the warrior is here. She won the battle. So people have motivations for different fights. But when our God fights, why does he fight? Number one, God fights for his purposes. Not yours, his. Sometimes we think that God is just fighting for us. No. If you are involved in his purpose and he's fighting for his purpose, then he is fighting for you. Are you with me? In the book of Exodus chapter 12, I want you to look at verse 40 to 41. And if you can read with me, that would be great. Children of Israel are in Egypt, when God cut the covenant with Abraham in Genesis 18, he says, your descendants will be in another land and they will be slaves for 400 years. Notice it's 430. The problem is Moses who caused it. Because the scripture teaches that in the 390 year, 10 years before the 400 years, God stirred the heart of Moses. It came into Moses' heart to visit his brethren. Then he killed somebody and had to run away for 40 years. You add it to 390, that's 430. Moses caused the extra 30 years. Be careful to pray for me because the mistakes I make would affect you. Are you with me? Now, the length of the time the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. Everybody pick up from verse 41. Ready? Read with me. Go. At the end of the 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Now, the next verse. I want you to take your time and read the next verse very carefully. Read. Because the Lord kept vigil. Pause. Pause. The Lord did what? Americans don't understand vigil. But where I come from, we even keep vigil for dead bodies. We stay up all night till the next morning just to look at a dead body. In this instance, God kept vigil to make sure that every single one of his people, you see, this is what is called anthropomorphism, using human characteristics to describe God. God never sleeps nor slumber. But the scripture says, peradventure, you think he was going to sleep, he kept what? He stayed awake. The Israelites, can you imagine some of them could run and some only had to use a stick, the old ones? And God had the patience to wait to make sure that those who could run and those who needed a little stick and those who carried babies, I'm sure some of them even had tortoise as pets and they couldn't carry them. So they have to leave them on the floor and the tortoise. God made sure that every single one of them get out safely. May the Lord keep vigil over you until all that concerns you have been lifted up. The election will not define how God takes care of his people. God is fighting on your side. All right, with that in mind, let's read. Ready? Exodus 4, chapter 12, verse 42. Ready? Go. Because the Lord kept vigil that night to bring them out of Egypt. On this night, all the Israelites are to keep vigil to honor the Lord for the generations to come. It's a good place to give the Lord praise. You see, God was saying, my purpose, my will is at stake, and Pharaoh will not stand in my way. 430 years, it's enough. I have given my word back in the book of Genesis. My people are going to what? Come on. This is why I believe a political party will not be able to stand in the way of God. You either believe the world or you believe God. But I believe the word of the Lord. Because last minute, God will shift people's minds and they will start voting differently. This is why I want to tell you, voting does not win elections. Prayer does. I know people will disagree because they believe you have to walk in there. What God slaps about a million people with disease and they come vote? Haven't you heard that people will walk into a voting booth ready to vote and then they say, I think I'll change my vote. What is it? Because the Almighty God is keeping vigil. And he is making sure that his will, unless God has put something in his permissive will, whatever he says this is going to be, it will be. So God does not only fight for his purposes, but secondly, he fights for his name. I'm still in the book of Exodus. I want us to explore it. Look at chapter 14, because that's where we started from. And if you read verse 15 to 25, I would love to read all of it because it's important. Then the Lord said to Moses, Exodus 14, verse 15, down. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Other version says, go forward. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry ground. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they will go in after them. And I will gain. He says, through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen, the Egyptians will know. Your co-workers will know. Americans will know. Your school compatriots will know. Those that are in your association will know.
that I am the Lord when I gain glory through them. Then the angel of God, who had been traveling in front of the Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them, and the pillar of cloud also moved. Who was traveling before them? Who was traveling before them? Now, I'm going to give you a clue. Please write it down. Anytime you see God at work, you will see angelic presence. Because God is not going to come down himself. What did Jesus say in the book of Matthew? After, you remember Pete? After he cut somebody's ears and Jesus picked it up and then he put it there and he says, come on, put down your sword. Because if I wanted to actually do a physical battle, I could ask my Father to send legions of what? Angels. This is why I believe that it doesn't matter who has surrounded me. There is a multitude of angels that are actually in the inner circle. Amen. Amen. The angel of the Lord and comes round about who? And comes round about you and me to protect us. So please write these three things down. Who does the Lord fight for? Who? Who does God fight for? Number one, God fight for those who don't have anyone to fight for them. I'll read that verse to you. Exodus 22, from 22 to 24. He says, do not take advantage of a widow, because their husbands are dead. They have no one to fight for them in that society. In today's society, it will be a minority group who have no voice. Do not take advantage of a widow or fatherless. If you do, and they cry out to me, I will certainly hear their cry. Verse 24, very dangerous. It says, my anger will be aroused, and I will kill you with the sword. Your wives will become widows, and your children will be fatherless. Now, let's pause, because anytime we read verses like this, Christians get excited, and then they turn around, and they put their eyes on the people in the world. This was spoken to God's. It was spoken to who? So if you were a Christian, God says, this time he won't defend you. He will kill you. Because you are destroying someone who is a widow or fatherless. Pay attention. Number two. God fights for the body of Christ, not you. The body of Christ. Because your personal victory is found in the victory of the church. So stop being or going into privatization. It's always about you. God is going to fight for the church universal. And in the victory of the church universal is your victory. So if you are seeking for the downfall, for example, of this local church ministry, in our downfall is your downfall. If we rise, you will what? Rise. Let's bring it home to a husband and a wife. You want your husband to go down so bad. Hey, you will be down. This is why the scripture says, pray for the city in which you have been carried captive. For in its prosperity, you will be what? Prosperous. Who does the Lord fight for? It is for those who have no one to fight for them. Number two, it is for his body, the body of Christ, the church. This is why I believe no politician, this is why I believe no world leader can ever fight against the church of God and win. Hear me, all nations of the world and the leaders of this world. The God that we serve has no match, no equal. You ever dare him, he will floor you because you are a mere mortal. Thirdly, who does the Lord fight for? He fights for those who uses for his purposes. God is using me for his purpose. When you fight me as a person, you will go scot-free. But when you fight the purpose for which God is using me for, you are in trouble. The problem is there's a slim line between persecuting me and not destroying the actual work. Are you hearing me? So leave me alone. Not that I am worried by your persecution. Does every work not have occupational hazards? Yeah, so occupational hazard I will have. But when you slip into the place of destroying the purposes of God through me, you are now not fighting me, but you are fighting him. And God will fight anybody who fights his purposes. We learn that. So the person he uses in fulfilling that purpose, you realize you try everything, it doesn't work. And sometimes you would say, there is something about them. It is because they have been chosen to fulfill God's purpose. And you, and everybody has been chosen to fulfill God's purpose. Not some other people. I am not special. You are special. You are special. You are special. All of us are special. We have been chosen to sing. You've been chosen to do this. Whatever it is you're doing, if you stay in God's purpose, God is fighting on your side. He's on your team. You'll be like my buddy. I don't know how the guy did not go pro with his soccer. Maybe it's the UAC people. That's the only thing I can say. You can diversify UAC later. So who does the Lord fight for? The one who don't have anyone to fight for them. He fights for the body of Christ, the church. So nations of the world back off. He also fights for those he uses for his purpose. Question is, how does the Lord fight? This will be our last question. How does the Lord what? I've already established that he uses angelic beings. Exodus 14:19, we already read that. The scripture says, the angel of the Lord went before them. I gave you the example of Jesus telling Peter, put your sword back, because if I wanted to do this warfare in a physical realm, I have the ability to call legions of angels to come and do it. If you read Revelation 12, verse 7 to 9, the Bible says, war broke up in heaven, and Michael and his angels went to work. And the Bible says, they got rid of Satan. That's how heaven's army is so powerful. And the scripture says, God is. Everybody say, God is.
God is.
He is the host, the leader of the heavenly host. Meaning that when you command angels, they won't do anything for you. The book of Psalms 107, he says, you, his angels, they only move at the command of his word. So if you want angelic beings to move on your behalf, what you say must only be found here. Anything outside, they ain't going to do it. Because they don't serve at your behest. They only serve at God's behest. Are you understanding what I'm saying? With all that in mind, I'm going to share with you six things as to how God fights. And you see that, and I'm sure you begin to see that he's fighting for you right now. First of all, God would allow you to be trapped by the enemy. Then he will come and rescue you. He takes you out of the enemy's traps. You see, he makes the enemy think that you win. Because he has you trapped. And some of you might be sitting here feeling that you have been trapped because you are overwhelmed by many things. And you are wondering, bills overwhelming you, relationship issues overwhelming you, you go to work, bosses don't like you, everything. Today, I stand here on the authority of the word of God. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but I decree into your life that the Lord has promised to deliver you. The Lord has promised to lift you up out of that place. You know, Daniel was left in the lion's den. Couldn't God have saved the dude before? But he allowed him there. And whilst he was in there, God did something. He shut the mouth of the lions. May lions' mouth be shut in your life. I said, may the mouth of lions be what? Shut. They can only be around you, but they cannot touch you. That was the testimony of Daniel. After the king had asked, has your God delivered you? He said, my God showed up. My God showed up. And when he showed up, he shut the mouth of lions. So you are in the lion's den. She's been surrounded by the lions. but she is unhurt. The problem with most believers, please pay attention. The problem with most believers is that we are too worried by the lions around them. But they can't bite. I pray that God open your eyes, that the lions that are surrounding you, they can't what? Write this down. God delivers us, but he delivers us dangerously. Dangerously in the sense that if one lion opens its mouth, bah, woo. So can you believe that Daniel is sitting there with the lions surrounding him and he's thinking, hey, this one really looks hungry. If it opens its mouth, I am dead, but God is delivering. Sometimes when God delivers you, he delivers you in such a way that when you look at it, you know it cannot be your uncle, your friend. It has to be him because he does it in the midst of danger. Can you see the children of Israel walking through dry ground? People, pay attention for as we sing with it. But if you were part of them and there were wet walls, the walls is water. Any second, it can come down. But you have to walk in it. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear. I will fear. I will fear nothing. Because I will be sitting in the lion's den. The lions are surrounding me, but I am delivered. Our problem is that we are worried about the lions that are surrounding us. Lady, it doesn't matter how many lions are surrounding you. You have been delivered. I said you have been delivered. You see, so some people will spend all their time. They are looking at, hey, what walls? Are we really delivered? What walls? I could see some of them trying to touch it. Is this real water? Hey, what a God. I said, what? Young people ready to go to college, don't be afraid. Your God is fighting on your side. I said, your God is fighting on your. He is fighting on your side. So number one, how does the Lord fight for us? He takes us out of his traps. Paul and Silas, the scripture says, at midnight they began to pray. They were not outside the prison. They were inside there. Did God deliver them out of the jail? No, he didn't. He kept them in the jail. And whilst they were in jail, he opened the door. There's something about to say. Everybody, please pay attention. Suppose all of you standing up here, you represent Paul and Silas. And the earthquake came. Boom! Your chains were loosed. The ones on your legs were loose. The prison doors were open. What is going to be your first reaction? What would you do? Run away. Run what? Away. Did Paul run away? Question is why? Until you go a few chapters back and realize that before they went to Philippi, Paul had had a vision that a man of Macedonia was calling him, come over to Macedonia and help us. Paul had met a slave girl, but was not the man he saw in the vision. So he was waiting. This is why they didn't rush out. If it was modern day Christians, hey, look what the Lord has done. He's opened a door. Paul says, no, the purposes of God are at stake. This is why he fought. And after that man was saved, that is how the church in Philippi began. Tell the person sitting next to you, stick with God's process. You see, God wanted to establish the church in Philippi, but he began with a slave girl who was talking nonsense. Then he continued with some rift between Paul and Barnabas that brought Silas into the equation.
Sometimes when there's a little confusion among believers, everybody thinks that work of God won't go on. Now lie. Because the one who is behind the scenes making things work is God. His processes are not like your processes. God was in the business of starting the church. That is one of the churches in Macedonia. The Bible called them the churches of Macedonia. Philippi, Thessalonica, Berea, right? And this was going to be the first one. And it's begun with the jailer. Paul was aware, so he was not rushing out of the jail cell. Because he knew that the only reason God delivered him was for his purpose, not for his freedom. Write it down. From today, bury your freedom for his purpose. Some people are saying, hey, Pastor, yeah, right. You are right. That's why you are still sitting there and suffering now. God would most of the time allow you to be trapped. And then he will come to save you later on. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what did he do? He allowed them in the fire. Then he got him out. So maybe you are in the thick of something and you are wondering, it looks like God hasn't delivered me. Child, don't count him out. He knows what he's about. He will come for you. I said he will come for you. He may not come for you at the time you want, but when he comes for you, you know that something has taken place.
Thank you for joining us on this spiritual encounter. Need more help? Text RADIO to 301-696-8555 or visit us on the web at covenantfamilychapel.org. You may also visit us at one of our in-person services on Sundays at 10 a.m. and discover the difference that the kingdom of God makes. Like up on social media, YouTube, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, and Instagram, all at Covenant One Family.